It's good to see you. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Got your Bibles this morning? Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. It's good to be here. I was thinking about this morning, about all week, something been getting on my heart, and I said, put it off no longer. But it's been a while. Well, I've up here during the funeral and slipped up in Wednesday night. And but it's been since, I believe, the 9th of almost 4 months, probably 16 weeks today. Today's the 7th, isn't it? But I'm so glad to be back in the house of the Lord. You got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter number 22. I want to try to share with this morning a very, very familiar character in the Bible. It's Peter, Simon Peter. I believe he loved the Lord, and he did. The Lord loved him. If he did deny him. But you know what? A lot of people say, well, he denied the Lord, yeah. But he didn't do like Judas, did he? He went out and wept bitterly. Devil's on the rampage. He didn't just start yesterday. He was after Peter. He's after everyone. He thinks he can put in a sheath and sift, torment, try to agitate. But thank God. You know what I like about it all? Jesus prayed for him. And he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. Well, you said he failed. Well, he stumbled and failed and even denied the Lord. But the reason he didn't stay there. You know why? Jesus prayed for him. And you know why we're here today? I believe while everyone's praying, even was praying for myself, I believe I got one at the right hand of the Father that was interceding for me. He's a great high priest. Not only is he praying for me, but he's praying for you. Jesus prayed for Peter. Notice what he said in verse number 31 of Luke chapter number 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But, I like it. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That tells me, where does the devil try to attack us at? He likes to attack us at our faith. Because you know, without faith, it's impossible to even please God. So Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, weren't no maybe or could turn back. He said, when you do, strengthen thy brethren. I'll probably come back to this, but if you've been through something, you see Peter, he had a lot of self-confidence. And then we got to have some. But don't need to go too far. He had lots. He just knew everybody else may do it, but not me. That's what he was thinking. But you know, he went through that thing. And therefore, he could strengthen the brethren. He could tell them afterwards and say, hey, I've been through that. Better watch it. Watch it. And he could help them because he'd been through them. Did you know God even comfort you where you can comfort others? God lets you go through battles and go through things where you can help others. And he said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both unto prison and unto death. Either think if he stand to take heed, lest he what? Fall. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not throw this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. He said unto him, when I sent you without purse and strife. Well, I'm going to skip on down. Verse number, he said, that thou knowest me. Look, verse number 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed where? Afar off. That's one mistake. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art of him, also of him. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confident affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not whence thou sayest, what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. I said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now I want to turn to the book of 1 Peter. Now, Peter knew what he's talking about when Holy Ghost inspired him to write these verses also. 1 Peter, the chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. Begin reading with verse number 6. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We sung that song, does he really care? He does. You can cast all of them on him because he really cares. Then he says, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing, it says, that the same afflictions accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, somebody has done been through with it. Somebody's already faced him. And thank God got victory over him. And he said, but the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. What's God doing? He's perfecting us. He's establishing us. He's strengthening us, and he's settling us. And I want to say, the devil don't always come as a roaring lion. That's what Peter said there. But sometimes he transformed himself into an angel of light. Sometimes he referred to as a serpent and an old snake. That's what he was in. He come that way in the Garden of Eden. But thank God for his word. And so I want to try to ask the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Would you pray with us, Father? Bless the reading of your word. Bless it to our hearts. Open the scriptures up unto us. We know that she's still on the throne, still in control, ruling and reigning. And God, we're so thankful and grateful for it. Thank you for this, thy people, that you've gathered together here this morning. May every heart be fed and every soul be strengthened. May our Father, we be warned in this hour. The day and hour we're living in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So God said to Peter, see, Jesus knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what I'll face tomorrow. He knows all these things. No surprise to it. And that's why he was saying to Peter, he said, hey, I want to tell you something. The devil desired to have you. So first of all, I want to say a little bit about Satan's desire. His desire is to have you. He wants to get you in his clutches. He wants to get his hands upon you. And he wants to sift you. And he's out there trying. He's a destroyer. He's a devourer. He's like a roaring lion. You know what they do? They eat up and they destroy and devour what they come in contact with. And so Jesus said unto Simon, he said, Simon, the Lord, listen, the Lord said, Simon, I'm going to tell you something. The devil wants to devour you. He's got a desire to do that. We was talking, me and Brother Gary's talking the other night about, we was talking about the devil. Remember what you said, Brother Gary? If he opens his mouth, it's a lie. That's true. He don't know how to tell the truth. He'll even take the scriptures and twist it around. He's the liar and the father of it. But his desire is to get a hold of you, get a hold of your family and your home and try to destroy you and devour you and eat you up. But I want to tell you something. You got one that's prayed for you, and thank God he can help you more than you can even imagine, thank God. That's my Lord. And so the devil desire, whatever desires, I'm glad, glory to God, he can't do a thing for her. Then God gives him permission to do. You think about Job. He says, oh, if you'll give him to me, he'll deny you. He'll listen, but Job didn't. Thank God he's cursing to your face. No, he didn't. But I want to tell you something. He let him go so far. He said, but you can't kill him. He let him afflict him. And oh, you know what Job went through with. And you know what Peter was faced here with. But the devil desire is to devour and destroy. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But he said, the devil comes what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, I'm gonna tell you something about the devil. You may think, he may buddy up to you and try to think he's your buddy, but he's not. He wants to eat you up. That's his desire. Well, Peter, it got a little exalted, but you ought to notice what he said in Peter. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let's wait. He'll exalt you when? Due time. But Peter got a little exalted. He's always speaking out. He was always right there. But you know what? The same one. But you know what? He was there. And the Lord was never did forsake him, although he denied him. So that's the devil's desire. But you know what? Then you look at Satan, then you look at Simon's denial. You see it? He denied the Lord. He didn't think he would. No, I'm ready to go with you, even to prison, go to death with you. And then when he was following him around, he followed afar off, sitting warmed himself, old saying is, by the devil's fire. And he sat there and all of them kept saying, you one of them? No, not me. He denied his Lord. But you know what? Jesus didn't say a word to him. Didn't say nothing to him. He sure didn't. But he said, Peter, I'm praying for you. Now, Peter denied him. But you know what? I see another something here, and I see my Savior's defense. He defended him. He prayed for him. And you know what he said to him? He said, when you converted, in other words, when you turn back around, strengthen your brethren. Oh, yeah. You know what I think about this? Jesus prayed for him, and he gets the prayer through. His prayers are answered. Thank God. Why don't we believe that when he prays for us? He prayed for us. He prayed for Peter. That was his defense. He prayed for my brother Peter here. He provided. He prayed for him. And he provided grace for him. He protected him. I know he's stumbled and failed and denied him. But you know what Peter did? Look what he said. He followed him afar off. Verse number 54. They got a fire going. He sat and warmed himself and sat down with them by the fire. He sure did. But here come a maid. And the Bible says she earnestly looked at him. That's got to be him. That's him. Oh, no. He's not me. I know him not. Now, can you imagine Peter saying that? But you know what? After all this, after he went out and wept bitterly, I'm getting ahead of myself now, but you never see where he denied him no more. He's always a spokesman for him. Never was ashamed of him no more. You know what? We say, we ain't never denied the Lord. Well, he was ashamed. He was ashamed of him, denied him. We don't need to be ashamed of him. Never. But it says, verse number 58, Peter said, man, I'm not. Peter, verse number 60, he said, man, I know not what thou sayest. But then, here comes something. We don't want to leave out the prophecy of our Lord. That old rooster crowed. I don't have no roosters, but I get to hear one once in a while from over at Beverly's and Jerry's. And I like hearing them. Mr. Frank used to keep them because Dwight liked to hear them. But this one here, when he crowed, he brought conviction. Peter, it says the cock crew. But that's not the only thing that happened. I want to just look a little bit here on the look. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He didn't say anything out loud, didn't embarrass Peter, didn't say, Peter, I told you so. Peter, I said, I warned you of what was going to happen. He didn't even say that. But I tell you what he did do. He turned and he looked on him. And that was a look from the divine, eternal eyes of the Savior. And when he saw him looking, you know what? You know what it tells me? Peter weren't looking the other way. I believe Peter was following him afar off, but I believe he was looking and kept looking to see what was going to happen. And when the cock began to, the rooster began to crow, listen, and Jesus looked upon Peter, then that look that he gave him reminded Peter what he said to him. That's what he said, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Thank God we need to remember what Jesus said. He said, Peter, so he didn't have to say it again. That look got him. And you know what? I can't get to you. That weren't that preacher that night preaching on the fires of hell in August of 65 that got next to me. It was the word of the Lord, and it was Jesus looking at me. I could see him. Nail-scarred hands. He was wounded. Bled and died on Calvary. That I might have life. And I could get forgiveness of my sins. But he looked at Peter. And when Peter saw him looking at him. You know what I believe? It was a look of love. Pierced him right down deep into his heart. Flaming swords from those eyes of our blessed Lord. As he looked on Peter. You know what I pray? I pray the Holy Ghost this morning through His Spirit that He will look upon each one of our hearts. See. And so he remembered the word of the Lord. How He said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter remembered what Jesus said. You know what? I'm so glad I could testify, and I'm sure most of you here could testify that many times the Lord has let us remember what He said. Amen. Because He said a lot. We're full of it. You know my prayer this morning? Look on us, Lord. Look deep down in our hearts and let us remember what you said. And Peter did. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Judas denied the Lord or betrayed the Lord. Judas did. And he went back and throwed the money down, went out, hanged himself. But Peter denied the Lord, said he didn't know him. But when he got the look from the Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. You know, there's sometimes tears of joy. But I want to tell you something. When there's sin involved, it's tears, it's bitter tears, weeping. And he wept bitterly. But thank God, he repented. He sure did. And so we find, no wonder, God could use Peter to write the book of Peter. Because he said, you better cast your care on him. And says, we better humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I can hear Peter saying, he's right. Whew, I can hear Peter saying, I know the Lord's right. He warned me, but I didn't pay no attention to him. He's warning us today. We better pay attention to him. You may think you can handle the situation. I may think I can handle the situation or circumstance. But I won't tell you something. We need him. More than ever before. We must have his presence. We must have his protection. We must have his warning. We must have his word. And God give it to us. We need it desperately. We need it. You can cast every care on him. You can roll your burdens on him because he careth for you. We can humble ourselves. And then we can be sober. Verse 8 says, that just don't mean not drunk on alcohol. That means being sober about everything. Right? Yeah. Means self-control, temperate, and vigilant. Amen. We better be alive. We better be ready. Because we got an adversary. But you know what? We got the King of Kings. We do. And he's more powerful than the devil ever will be. Ever has been. And we got victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours. So we see this Satan's desire. We see Peter's denial, but we see our Lord, Savior, defense. Thank God, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for me. I'm glad he's still praying for me. You know what Jesus said? He said he's praying not for these only, but also those that believe on his name. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for my sheep. My followers, those that hear my voice and obey my voice and walk in the word, I'm glad he's praying for us. Because your adversary, the devil, the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Well, here's the way we resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Did you know what the Bible said? It tells us simply, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. What else? Resist the devil. And he will what? Flee. If I know anything about that word flee, he'd get out of our face. Because he don't like the name of the Lord. He don't like that blood. He don't like the name of Jesus. So we resist him steadfast in the faith. And that's why Jesus prayed for Peter's faith. And that's why we had to resist the devil by steadfast standing our ground. Not wishy-washing around, but steadfast in the faith. We stand for God. Resist steadfast in the faith. Now here's something else that helps me. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I've never have to go through something someone else ain't already been through. Some brothers, some sisters, some of my brothers and sisters in the Lord, somewhere, sometime, some time or another, has already walked through it. And so I know Those afflictions. The Bible said many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of how many? All. Hallelujah. All. The Lord delivers them. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of him. We can resist him. We can stand fast by faith. That's the only way we can stand fast against him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus defeated him. He's already whooped. Amen. He's already under the feet of the church and the saints. Hallelujah. Our blessed Lord. Oh, you can't believe, you never believe what he's told me a lot of lies in the last 4 months. One of them was, you'll never get where I am again. That you won't be able to preach no more. He's a liar. Amen. Well, I appreciate you being patient with us. God's good. He sure is. He really good. I like verse number 10, but the God of all grace called us unto his eternal glory. Aren't you glad you've been called? Did you know what the Bible says? This light affliction, but for a moment. Work it for us more far exceeding eternal weight of glory. Glory to God. Those afflictions, it's nothing. They light. They for a moment compared to that weight of eternal glory. What a savior. I preached on that one time, long time ago, at eternal glory. It's real. Afflictions light. And just for a moment. What's 4 months compared to eternity? What's 13 years compared to eternity? What's a lifespan of 70, 80, 90 years compared to eternity? Short, short. Heaviest weight that you may have had to bear is nothing to be compared to the weight of eternal glory that's waiting on us. Who's called us unto eternal glory. It's always by Christ Jesus. After, here it is, yet suffered a while. There'd be some. But thank God, after that's over, we headed to a place. And I see two ladies sitting back here. The husband done made it. Amen. Would there be no more sadness, no more sickness, no more affliction, no more trials? What a glorious day. And folks, won't be long, we'll be there with them. Hallelujah. What a hope. What a hope. But right now, we're going through sufferings. If you're going through them, he's perfecting us. I mentioned that a while ago, verse number 10. Perfecting us. You know what he's doing? He's conforming us into the image of his Son. We hadn't made it there yet, but he's still working on us. That old saying is, I heard an old one say one time, and it's so true. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I used to be either. When he gets through with me, when the finished product's over, when he comes, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. But right now, he says, I'm establishing you. Isn't it wonderful to be established? That's what God wants to do with every one of us. You know what else he wants to do with us? Strengthen us. He does. Look at this verse. You see this verse right here? With God all things are possible. That's the only reason I stand up here this morning. The only reason you're sitting on that pew. With God all things are possible. I'm glad he specializes. The impossibilities. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He still is. I went outside this morning, sit a little bit. I heard the birds are singing. I've been watching them a good bit lately. Go in them little bushes. They got them a nest in there. I'll never forget one time I was listening to Brother Joe Parsons preach. Remember Brother Joe? He was up on an age end. He said he went to a home one day.
young couple. They had a little baby. The Lord took it home with him. They had a little hatcher sitting there. He said, right out the window, when he was at the table with them, come a bird singing. He said, God gave him a song. And you know what? The darkest hour you may ever go through, God give you a song. In the night, he sure will. Because he wants to strengthen you. And you can't sing. You may be so low. Maybe so sad and troubled and bogged down in afflictions and sufferings. But always remember, God sends someone by. He sure will. Maybe a bird sing for you. Hallelujah. You know what? God said if he cares so much for the bird, not one of them falls, let him know one. He said the hairs of our head are numbered. You know how much he cares for you. How much he cares for his children. Not a father or mother here this morning, or grandma and grandpa. No way we could ever imagine the love that God. I still, every time I read that verse where Jesus looked at Peter, I see in that look. You know, sometimes all our parents said, dude, look at us. You knew what they were saying. But when Jesus looks at you, what love, what compassion, what mercy, what forgiveness he's shown. He wants to strengthen you. And lastly, he wants to settle you. Settle you in his word, in his ways, in his will, in his work. God wants to settle you. And thank God that's what he's doing. Hallelujah. Thank God for every home that's here this morning, every one of you. God's working with all of us. Hallelujah. Yes, yes he is. Amen. He's soon coming. Right. He's soon coming. Would you stand with us if we sing?